Identification, tapes 1 and 2, Harold Holt.
In the mid-1960s, Liberal man Harold Holt became Prime Minister.
We don't know what hazards we face in the future of drought or any other adversity.
During his life in politics, Holt relaxed the White Australia policy, oversaw the 67 referendum that recognised Indigenous Australians.
I'm Dollar Bill.
He also chaperoned Australia into decimal currency.
In come the dollars, in come the cents.
But not even 2 years into his time in the top job, he disappeared.
There he goes, striding along like Marco Polo. He had said to them, I know this beach like the back of my hand.
From the scene of the search for the Prime Minister, Peter Ivanov has just telephoned this report.
The search today was hampered by rain, strong winds and vicious seas. Mrs. Holt looked pale, but she was remarkably composed.
Fidelity was surely the mark of the whole life and work of our late Prime Minister, Mr. Harold Holt, who gave his best for Australia with his great love of Australia, of the open air, of nature and of the sea.
That was 1967, 50 years ago. The same year Holt went into the sea, something came out.
Just sitting at my desk.
It was a footy club.
It's early in the morning. No one else is in yet.
The Cronulla Sharks.
And I'm just watching this NRL ad. It shows different porch lights being turned on. That caravan. People are leaving.
For years, they've been making grown men cry.
I don't know why it's so emotional.
That includes the co-host of this podcast, diehard Cronulla fan, Mike Williams.
Start crying when I watch it.
I'm Timothy Nicastri, and in this episode of The Real Thing, we go inside the head of the NRL's scariest mascot.
It cuts to the Cronulla captain, Paul Gallen. He turns his porch light.
Coming out with a trophy.
Let it all out, mate. Here we go.
I'll report
cheers.
All right, talk me through it.
So we're into the shark house here, and
David Ninnis's house is covered top to bottom in sharks memorabilia.
This is my office. Signed jersey from every team from about 1991 or two.
Every single room, sharks gear.
I did notice something here. So we got, I'm just walking on the welcome mat to the sharks, the key holder. Your letterbox has got sharks. We got pillows here.
This one around here is pretty special to me behind the door here. Oh, that's spirit level.
You've got a spirit level that's you've made this.
No, it was bought like that.
They sell these.
I come with a hammer and everything.
When he builds a new house one day, he's thinking of turning this place into a museum. Seriously.
Oh, I definitely thought about it. Yeah.
Wow. In Morpeth.
Yeah, well, in Wallalong,
Now, Wallalong is nowhere near the Sutherland Shire. It's about 3 hours away.
We had a great lifestyle growing up, just like most farming families. We're pretty close.
David's worked in the dairy industry his whole life. These days he likes to joke.
I'm a semen salesman. Terminology has changed over the years, but we are now called breeding consultants. So what we do is we visit farms and help out with their breeding program.
But before he loved cows, he loved sharks.
I just turned 7. My cousin was a mad shark supporter, and he invited me over to watch the 1978 grand final at his place in East Maitland.
And I hope the game is worthy of the big build-up that it's had, and I'm sure it will be.
Wearing the black, white and blue in that historic match was a bloke who captured David's imagination, Steve Sludge Rogers.
Steve Rogers not finding touch with his kick for Cronulla.
Back in his time, he was just a class above the rest, and they used to call him the Prince of Centres. I think he was just a magical man on his feet. He had wonderful hands. From that day, I've only ever followed Cronulla through the good, the bad, the ugly.
Just like E.T. had sparked passion in the 90s, Sludge brought a generation of fans to Cronulla.
When you're a kid living in a small country town, how do you support them? What do you do?
Oh, well, I guess back then it was just by buying jerseys. I said, Mum said she's been washing Sharks jerseys, and I used to live in them, sleep in them, work in them. As soon as I was old enough to become a Sharks member,
even when you couldn't go to games?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My heart was with the club and I never even thought twice about it.
First ever Super League grand final.
Even when they joined the controversial Super League in 97, David stayed with them. For a long time, the Cronulla Sharks have had to put up with jokes about never winning a grand final. a premiership became so elusive that Jack Gibson, a former Sharks coach, once wrote, "Waiting for Cronulla to win a premiership was like leaving the porch light on for Harold Holt." In other words, it would never happen. While football looked at Super League, David was looking at Super Love.
Yeah, well, actually, when I met Marie, it was actually just organised through some mates, nearly on a blind date.
David's friend Matt was dating a girl who worked in a shop with Marie. He told him to go check her out.
And I come back and said to him, I said, "Matty, yeah, I reckon she looks all right, see what you can organise." And that's how it all sort of started.
Marie was willing to put up with David's Sharks jerseys, and they got married. They had two kids, Hayley and Ryan.
Life was going pretty good, and then I still remember the day she'd been unwell, and she said, "The doctor thinks I've got a problem with my heart." And I just about fell out of the truck. I'm like, "What's wrong with your heart? You're 29. What do you mean?"
The doctor said Marie had cardiomyopathy, a lifelong heart condition. In September 2003, his next-door neighbour invited them round for a barbie to watch the grand final.
That was the year the Roosters played Manly, I think.
It was Roosters versus Penrith, but that doesn't matter.
When it got to half time, Marie said then, she said, "Oh, I don't feel well." She said, "I might go home and go to bed." And I said, "Well, that's okay. If you want to go home, I'm only next door, you've only got to sing out." And the kids stayed over there with me and Marie came home, went to bed. And then after the football, we came home and Marie was asleep and I put the two kids to bed.
In the early hours of the next day, Marie died. Although she'd been sick, it was sudden.
Probably the hardest thing I think I'll probably ever have to do in life is to go in and wake these kids up and say, "Listen, Mummy's not going to be with us anymore," to see her there, laying there lifeless, like 4 and 7, it's a very young age. And every time the football's on in grand final, whether the Sharks are playing or not, it'll always be that next morning when we wake up, will be the sort of the memory of when it happened. I guess the blessing that comes out of it, I guess, is that Marie has a twin sister. They actually put her in and they gave her a pacemaker straight away. So if her heart does stop, this will kick in. And already 3 or 4 times this pacemaker's already kicked in, which has probably saved her life.
Can we have a look at the frame you got done up of...
Oh, yeah. Let's
have a look at that.
Of all the large memorabilia frames at David's place, the one in the best spot of the house is not about Cronulla.
This sits here proudly, in the lounge room now, and she's sitting in here, every day with us in spirit.
Just looking at all the photos, you're wearing Sharks-related gear, and there's a few there.
Along with a lot of support from his family, footy helped him get through years of raising his two kids alone. He threw himself at the local club.
Well, football was great because it wasn't that long after that Ryan actually started playing football over here at Morpeth. Right from the start, from day one, I wanted to be involved. I spent the next 11 years there being a team manager, a coach, a water runner. You do have your rough days and you've just got to let it out, and it's just showing your grief. Football was great to me through those difficult days. And
of course, he always had his...
Hello, David speaking.
He always had his beloved Sharkies to support, no matter how many games they might lose.
Good. We all unfortunately only get one crack at life, and life's too short these days. And, I don't want to live with any regrets. Live for the day, live for the moment.
All right. Talk to you later. Up, Cronulla,
the boys in the black. David's changed outlook and passion for footy was about to come in handy for Cronulla. Just as he was finishing up his service for Morpeth Juniors, the Sharks were about to implode. Sharks forever!
Last month, it was hailed as the blackest day in Australian sport, with the Cronulla Sharks NRL club engulfed in a crisis of doping allegations.
Cronulla has closed ranks.
Everyone's ringing everyone up and blowing up and filthy on the whole thing.
The Sharks suspended their coach and sacked 4 of their most senior support staff, this time its chairman.
The peptides that we're talking about are clearly banned substances.
The careers of more than a dozen NRL players hang in the balance tonight.
What started in 2011 took years to resolve. Cronulla was in deep trouble for injecting players with horse steroids. The legacy of a football club, the players, the staff, tens of thousands of fans, was sinking in front of us.
Did that shake your loyalty in any way?
No.
And who knows what the future will hold for the Sharks?
For the first game of the 2013 season, David did what great fans do best.
I charged down there with my jersey and my shirt and my hat, and we had a big banner made up, and, you know, it was an emotional night because we were there to support our club, and whatever had happened behind the scenes, if it was no good, not much I could have done about it.
And there are thousands to support their embattled club, only to see them lose and edge closer to this season's wooden spoon.
It was hard sitting there watching them go through, you know, some of the defeats that they were getting. You know, Cronulla will probably look back, that's one of the biggest turning points in their history.
By the end of the 2014 season, the Sharks had come dead last.
It's a terrible outcome to a terrible chapter in the club's history.
Anyhow, there was a couple of Facebook groups that started up, and they actually put out a bit of a poll, and they said to people, well, if you could change things, what would you like to see changed at the club? And, you know, some people said food prices, entry.
Members wanted to help dig their club out of the hole.
And they went back to the club and they said, well, number four or five on the list was bring back MC Hammerhead.
Wait, what the hell is MC Hammerhead?
You can't touch this.
MC Hammerhead was the Sharks' second team mascot. The legend is that he was a hangover from the Super League days, but at some point in recent history, he was scrapped.
And I think what must have happened is that the guy that was doing Reefy must have...
Now, Reefy, a reef shark, is the official mascot.
You know, so they probably just thought, well, we won't worry about it for the time being because we had no money. We'll just run with the one mascot.
MC Hammerhead is not necessarily a cuddly character. He's a bit rough. I can see why they might have shelved him for a while.
Even when I was a fan on the sideline, I always thought he was a different type of mascot.
Imagine a guy in a Sharks jersey outfit. He's got a sleeve tattoo, four-fingered gloves, and a giant grey fiberglass head in the shape of a hammerhead shark. Those big black eyes are sticking out left to right.
The kids think he's a bit scary at times because he's got the big wide open mouth. He's got a bit of blood on his teeth, you know. So I thought that I could fill that role quite nicely. And
of course he thought that. David's been wearing his love for the Sharks on his sleeve for decades anyway. Being a mascot would make it official in some way. David told the fan committee if MC was going to return, he was the guy to do it.
So they said, well, it's not going to cost us any money. You know, let's get him in and have a talk.
They were keen, but there was a problem.
Anyhow, then they realised they couldn't find the suit. The suit had gone missing.
Turns out fiberglass shark heads are expensive, so the idea was off. Until...
One day out of the blue, I got a phone call from the club and they said, I believe something's just turned up here that you've been looking for. And I'm like, what's that? And they said, well, someone's just come in off the street with a bag and it's got the hammerhead suit in it and the head. You better come down and try it on.
You can't touch this.
The MC Hammerhead head fit. In 2015, he had his debut game against longtime club rivals, the Canberra Raiders.
Did you have any training before you did this?
No training, no. I've never done any mascot work anywhere else before in my life.
There's only one rule David was told he had to follow as a mascot. It's simple but critical. Never, ever take your head off.
Because that is a code of conduct. You're not allowed in public with your... you must leave your head on at all times.
Okay, got it. Time to suit up.
Is that right? Where are we?
Yeah, we're actually just in the media room. This is where we get dressed and prepare ourselves for the big night ahead.
What I normally do, I come here and I get my gear out and lay it down.
Also getting dressed up is Reefy, aka Woz, the other shark mascot, and the pig, Evan, should be here soon.
Got the ice vest on, mate. Get the ice vest on.
It's winter, but it's so hot in the suit. Woz wears an ice vest.
Good to go? The mermaids out there? The last thing I do is put my head on before I leave the shed and... When I run out there, I feel like I should be seen on either side of the halfway line, you know, ready to play.
I can't see much at all. Hello, mate. Yeah, hello, Jamie.
The head's very claustrophobic, like there's only a little eye opening at the front so you can sort of see out of it. You can't hear.
I can't hear very much, so...
And then you've got the noise of the game going on and you've got other things going on around you. You can't actually hear the people.
Hey, kids. How you going? Good. We're going to win?
Yeah, go the Sharks.
I don't feel I changed into a different person. I feel it's just me in the suit, but compared to some other mascots, I'm just a mad fiend in the suit. And it's just a pity that, you know, the referee can't hear what I'm saying some days under the suit.
Funny with me.
There hasn't been one day that I've been driving down there going, oh, what am I doing this for? I just love getting in the car and getting down there.
David says he's the same guy in the suit, but I reckon he's different. He's dancing, he's blowing kisses. He's not the same bloke that sells cow semen. By halftime, the mascots are covered in sweat. They look like they've just done 50 tackles each.
Very exhausting first half. It's pretty high intensity and very warm out there and lots of fans, so it's been a busy 40 minutes.
Teenagers and mascots aren't always a great mix, and David cops his fair share of abuse.
You know, pull your glove off, or they want to hit you on the head. Or I'm used to it by now. It's usually probably the boys between about 12 and 14.
You're not a real shark.
They're the ones that, I guess, try to be the heroes with their mates. You can pick them a mile away.
Don't have your head.
Don't.
But most kids are great, and getting a high five or photo with MC Hammerhead is definitely worthy of show and tell.
Did you? Wow!
That's what I do it for, is the kids. I love the kids' side of it.
Last year they announced it was his birthday and several kids made cards.
You know, I'll keep those little handmade cards forever. Like, they'll always stay with me.
You've got them in the house?
Yeah, I've got a couple in the house.
Can we have a look?
Yeah.
Let's have a look. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Here at the game, the Sharks have bombed out. There will be no singing of Up Up Cronulla tonight. And David's starting to sound like a player.
We didn't get the result, we didn't get the job done, and we've got to hit the road and, probably about 2.5 hours from here to home.
Please be advised there will be no official post-match presentation after tonight's match.
I feel like this isn't a good ending to the story.
No.
But this isn't the end. We're going to have to sweat a lot more before we're done here.
All right.
Rolling.
All right, rolling.
What's up? What do you got for me?
Okay, you know MC Hammerhead and Reefy are the mascots for the Sharks.
Yes.
Well, there's a third one.
Okay.
It's a mascot for a local restaurant that sponsors the club.
Is it a shark?
It's not a shark. It is a pink pig. And so I'm recording at the game. The guy who does the pig, he says he's not going to be able to make Thursday night games. Now, and the next game is a Thursday night game. So we get talking and he asks me, do I want to be the pig?
What?
Straight away he said, like, okay, you're in.
I'll get the suit to Dave and you're in.
There was no vetting. There's no audition. He's like, be here at 7 o'clock and do it. That's it.
That's right. Are you still coming up or what are you
up
to?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely still coming up.
So is this like a dream come true or?
Well, yes, sort of.
I have been having nightmares about it.
You'll be right, mate. We'll hold your head. You'll be right.
Have you experienced this before?
No, not nightmares, mate. No.
Is there any final preparation I need to do? Any tips?
Oh, mate, maybe just to do a few push-ups, just to loosen the shoulders up. We'll have a big crowd there on Thursday night.
How do I get tickets? I've been going for the Cronulla Sharks for about 20 years now. Sorry?
45 seconds on the Cowboys run.
I'm just worried about because I can't see anything. I'm standing in the tunnel of Shark Park. I'm wearing a pink pig suit. I feel like I can't breathe. Like I'm. Timothy, if you can hear this, I want you to know I'm scared. I'm so scared.
Bring the piggy out, come on.
I can't see anything, I'm running out!
It's a strange feeling to be running out with the team I've loved forever. I'm leading them. Behind me is the captain, Paul Gallen. And all I had to do was dress as a pig. I really can't see anything, but I can feel the energy of the crowd. It's a good feeling. I think it's pride. This is why David keeps coming back.
Here we go! I can't breathe. I see how Dave gets such a kick out of this. It is a thrill. Oh, mate, it's very hard.
Get in here, man. We love you, McGee.
You're Don't go easy, debut.
Woo!
Yeah.
I can't see what under his commenting.
It's not totally glamorous. I mean, you're putting the hard yards in as the crowd ramps up here. Come on, Sharkies. Are we there? Is that it? Tell me it's over. This gave Dave a hug. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm not kidding. I've done nothing to deserve to be on the field celebrating and having people cheer around me. But it's a half-life because I can't actually see anything and they have no idea who I am. That is the price of being a mascot.
How does that make you feel when, you know, you've got this relationship with the players in the suit, but that's, you need the suit to have that relationship? How does it make you feel?
You know, I'd probably like them to know me better outside the suit, to be honest. But I guess we don't get that opportunity to meet us outside the suit because every weekend when they see us, they don't see us. When we're at Cronulla, we have our own shed to get ready in. Like, we don't get ready in the same shed as those guys. But I guess that's what they want us to do and be a mascot. And, you know, we go out and do our best and just can't be that way, I guess.
Last year, in 2016, Cronulla finally earned a chance to break their premiership drought. The Sharkies and their mascots were headed to the grand final.
The grand final week was an amazing experience that I guess money, you know, can't buy for someone like myself.
Well, yesterday we were throwing the F word around fairly liberally. I mean, fairy tale, of course.
A gritty underdog against a more successful opponent.
And they do truly believe that they should be there.
I don't know if Cronulla boys cry, but it is an emotional time in the Shire.
And a very good evening to you. For those just joining us, welcome to ABC Grandstand Rugby League. Our coverage
as the clock wound down, a half century's tension was coming to a head.
By Townsend, and he's Collin over the top, a high tackle, and shock, horror, surprise. Michael Ennis runs in with a push and a shove.
The score sat at 14-12. Sharks were winning. They could taste victory.
15 seconds of this game.
But there was still a minute left on the clock, and Melbourne had the ball.
How's it feel looking back? Just brings back a lot of memories.
Back emotion, oh yeah.
Touchline, yes. If Melbourne don't score in the next 60 seconds, Cronulla fans will have their first title.
No man's course through life is ever wholly smooth and untroubled.
We're just talking to ourselves. We're going one set of six boys. We're 60 seconds away.
The Cronulla fans finally getting to their feet. They don't know whether to breathe in or out.
Melbourne were 10 metres out from their own line, so we thought they got a long way to go.
41 seconds to go. The ball's going to be played.
But Melbourne's Melbourne, so anything could happen.
True metal of character.
32 seconds. He played the ball away. It comes from right to left.
I remember I couldn't take my eyes off the clock. I was trying to watch the game. I'm looking at the clock.
He flicks it out the back door to Hampton. 22 seconds left.
Come on, wind down, looking at the clock, wind down.
As gold is tried and tested in the fire.
He's a metre in Cronulla territory. 15 seconds to go.
So too with the lives of individuals.
The longest minute in my life, I think.
And in the way in which we rise above the adversity which has befallen us.
No. He got a pass away, they're going to score.
That was in our mouth, because it looked like they were going to score over here. We're like, no.
A man does not become faithful all of a sudden. It is something that has been growing in him all the time.
Back infield, time's up, it's the last play. Back to Cronk, left to right he goes. Links up Corabetti, takes them on, he had to pass it. He didn't. Cronulla wins. Cronulla has won its first ever title in 50 years. Somehow Cronulla hold on. The Sharkies win.
And as Ricky Lattelli tackled that guy, Reefy jumped up with excitement and he actually knocked my head off and it goes rolling down the sideline. So here I am standing in front of 80,000 people without my, without my head on. So he's get that head back on quickly. So I got it back on and like we can look back in 100 years' time and, you know, my great-great-grandkids or whatever it may be at the time can say, well, that was my great-great-grandpa there with his head rolling down the sideline. There it is. The head's on. See? Head's on the ground. Pick the head back up.
Thanks very much for the year. We worked our backside off since last November.
Well, I think it was just relief. I think that we'd finally got there after 49 years.
You've waited 50 years for this.
It just meant so much to me. I was just as emotional as the players. Hopefully when I'm not around one day, that one thing they'll remember me for will be my passion for my football team. Sometimes they actually ask, is my blood blue, black and white, because I'm that passionate about them.
And to all you people back in the Shire,
we can finally turn our porch lights off. Harold's home.
Turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Can the Sharkies back it up for another year? Will Maloney extend his contract? Stay listening.
No, come on. Mate, we are done with Shark
Stories.
We've
just got started.
If this is your first episode listening to The Real Thing, welcome. Thank you for coming along for the ride. We would love you to hit that subscribe button and continue with us.
I'm Mike Williams.
I'm Timothy Nicastri, and that's episode 23 of The Real Thing.
Stop. Have a time. Every time you see me, the hammer's just so hype. I'm dope.